Welcome back to Marketing Like Jesus, the show that teaches entrepreneurs how to partner with God in business. I'm your host, Darren Cheer, author of the book Marketing Like Jesus and founder of High Bridge Books. Typically at this stage of the episode, you hear me talking about a webinar that's coming up for High Bridge Books. I'm going to do something a little bit different today. For a while now, I've been considering setting up an affiliate program for High Bridge Books. And if you're not familiar with what an affiliate program is, it's basically just something that a company can set up to reward people financially for referring new business. In the past, the timing just wasn't right for me to set up this affiliate program because I was really focused more on developing the operations and really defining what is the brand of my company, High Bridge Books. And plus, I was already getting great referrals from my current authors that I've been helping to get published. But recently, I had two different listeners, actually in two different countries, 2 days in a row. These listeners told me that they wanted to help me promote my book publishing company as affiliates. And so I had already been praying about this, and this was confirmation from the Holy Spirit that now's the time to go ahead and launch this. So I'm excited to announce that High Bridge Books now has an affiliate program. And if you're interested in getting paid to refer new authors to us, I invite you to apply. We don't publish everything that comes to us, but if we do publish the author's manuscript that you refer to us, you will earn a commission of $100. If you want to get more information and apply to become one of our literary agent affiliate partners, you can go and register at highbridgebooks.com/affiliates. I will personally refer your application and get in touch with you and then talk about possibly how to move forward together. This week, we're joined by Andy Mason, director of an organization named Heaven in Business, which teaches people how to partner with God in business, which is, of course, what we're all about on this show. He's also the author of God With You at Work, which is an incredible book that I've been reading. And again, it's about how to partner with God in business. I mean, there's not too many paradigms to show us what that looks like outside of the four walls of the church. You know, what does it actually look like to have God partnering with you in business? And he's also a staff member at Bethel Church in Redding, California, which really is leading the way in a lot of the work that's being done to equip Christians for ministry in business. And so I just want to welcome Andy Mason. Welcome to the Marketing Like Jesus podcast, Andy.
Hey, thanks so much, Darren.
Absolutely. Well, I just read a short bio, but please tell us a bit more about you and how you got started in business.
So I'm from New Zealand, so that little island on the bottom of the world next to Orcs and Lord of the Rings fame. So we joke.
Yes, an exciting week for New Zealand and The Hobbit and everything.
Exactly. Yeah. More for The Hobbit than for New Zealand, but yeah. Started off as a shepherd, horse dogs in New Zealand. Thought I was going to be in the agricultural farming type business, but then through mentors, through people that I looked up to, and really through God speaking to me, we traveled the direction of university and getting equipped to better just go further in this heart desire to how do we equip people practically as well as spiritually. So this kind of, in my head, that was missionary. And when you say missionary, you think, well, most people automatically think Africa, orphans, right, dirt. And so I'm thinking, there's no point actually helping anybody just on the practical basis, because I love that. But what are we going to do to help them practical and spiritual? These two things side by side were interwoven. So at the end of university, you thought, well, I'm actually no good to anybody in this international development type work until I've got more experience. So I worked with New Zealand's leading agricultural business consultancy firm for 5 years. So it's all sheep, beef, deer, dairy, cropping, working with business owners. How do we maximize the productivity or profitability, or help them work out where they're going with their business, family, farming goals, and we mm-hmm. help them get there. And then following that, worked 7 years with New Zealand's leading agricultural bank, so more the finance side. But again, it was very much, you know, what is success to you? Where are you going? What's mm-hmm. important? And a much diverse range of goals, more in a farm succession, business succession, educating the children, diversifying the property or in portfolio. So whole wider range. And again, I was using my background in practical farming, using my business background, the consultancy mm-hmm. piece, and using access to obviously finance with the bank to help them get from where they are to where they want to be. Mm. At the same time, very involved with a local church, very committed to that whole partnership and sowing our lives into a local community of believers. Mm. And through that, I was involved overseas in the likes of Uganda, going over there over a period of short-term trips over a period of 5 years, working with a local pastor, helping them develop an orphan program, microfinance, and mm-hmm. leadership development, which I continually say was more my growth and development than theirs. Wonderful things were happening, but I think I was the one that learned the most. Mm. So that's, in a nutshell, is the background prior to coming to the United States in 2008.
You know, the agricultural business is, I mean, when I talk to missionaries that are in places like Uganda and other countries where there's such a need for learning how to grow crops and raise livestock, they always say that, I mean, that is the, when it comes to developing that community, I mean, that's one of the core needs that they have economically and for the overall well-being of their communities, is to learn how to do those basic business tasks and how to raise crops and livestock. I'm wondering, was it that opportunity on the mission field that attracted you to study agriculture and to gain that experience in that field? Or was that something that was just sort of a byproduct that God kind of sovereignly orchestrated to put you in the opportunity to serve people like that?
No, I think both sides of my family. So New Zealand is like one big farm. If you imagine 4 million people, 40 million sheep, 10 million cattle. And so I guess less and less so, but from over the last period of time, as more people move into cities, but it's very much everyone's connected at some point to someone in the rural community. So mm-hmm. One side of my family was physically the practical farming side of things, mm-hmm. so sheep and cattle. And the other side of the family, we're in the horticultural business, rose growing. So I guess time from our mother's side of the family, spending time with my grandfather, I just always loved the outdoors. I loved animals. I loved that sense of taking something and growing it and doing it with my hands, the practical piece. So it was that, whether that was in my DNA, that was in my just the purpose that before you were born, I knew you made mention of your name, Jeremiah, calling. Or just the fact that I just love that, love the outdoors. Mm-hmm. And it's been this journey of steadily growing in so many other things. I remember we had a missionary come to church when I was about 13 years old. And my mother reminded me later on that I'd walked up to her afterwards and said that God has spoken to me, that I'm going to be a missionary, that I need to do an agricultural science degree, because I'm going to help people practically and spiritually. Mm. I promptly forgot about this, went about my way, ended up doing this two-year cadetship in practical farming, and then came back to her after that and said, I'm now going to go back to university and do this agricultural science degree to take this practical thing so much further. And then she, mm-hmm. at that point, she reminded me of this prophetic word, or this what God has spoken to me maybe 5-6 years earlier, which I'd completely forgotten. So it's just amazing how when you seek first Him, all these other things just fall into place better than you realize.
So God opened some doors for you and your family to come to Reading. Is that right? Is that kind of where you landed when you came to the United States? And tell us about kind of how Heaven and Business got started and what Heaven and Business is all about.
Yeah. So my wife and I, we got four children at the time. So that was 2008. They were 2, 4, 6, and 8 years old. And mm-hmm. we were praying about where our future is. What's going on? God, what's next for us? We're doing really well with what we're going on. Where's this next step? And we spoke to our senior leader, and is it in some ministerial role? And he said, look, I'm not sure where you fit right now with things going on. So it wasn't that, and it wasn't a business promotion to be a regional manager. So I was like, it's not business and it's not church ministry. What is it, God? Mm-hmm. I was with a buddy in Uganda, and he said, why don't you pray about it? And, which is, I love saying that now, but it was not so much praying about one or the other, but maybe God's asking you to move geographically at something beyond what you expected. So I came back and wrote down in our journal, is our future in this location? And within 1 week, God spoke to my wife and myself independently, saying, leave everything and go to a new country, which was incredibly scary, but incredibly obvious. It was just so apparent that this was God. We picked up four kids and ourselves, and over the next couple of weeks, God just clarified it was to Redding, California, and to do the ministry school that's associated with Bethel Church. So that's what landed us over here. Just a crazy, scary adventure with God of really learning how much I thought I trusted Him, but I didn't. And just this journey of growing in relationship. At the end of 1 year, I jumped into an internship with one of the senior leaders whose name is Danny Silk. Just a wonderful, wonderful guy who really is the first person that honestly, I would say, has believed in me more than I believed in myself, trusted in me more than I trusted in myself, which really ruined somebody.
Yeah.
And through that, we started developing a bunch of different things to, you know, the mandate, Isaiah 61, I think it is, and it's Luke 4, talks about Jesus saying, I've anointed you to preach the good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, and it goes so on. And what we're talking about is this, so much of what we've done has been focused on preaching the good news, so the evangelism model, and then fixing the broken. But in order to see the world truly reformed to what Jesus intended, to what God intended, we've got to do more than just fix broken. We've got to build the champions. We've got to build people into who they are. So that's what we started to develop. And out of that, and out of that school of ministry, it's like, what are we doing with our business community? If we truly want to see our cities prosper, if it's true that Jesus didn't just die for us to get a ticket to heaven, but He came to establish, reestablish the authority and intimacy to establish heaven on earth, that earth is our inheritance. As He said, pray on earth as it is in heaven. If that's true, then the goal is all creation fully alive. And for all creation fully alive, that means that it's so much more than everybody just saying, I'm a follower of Jesus. It's our cities being reformed, our cities prospering, all things fully alive. So for that to happen, the economic areas of our cities must prosper. So we just started experimenting. What does it look like to go in and partner with local business people to really encourage them to find out what is it they need? How do we see the miracles that are taking place on Sundays and on mission fields? What does that look like for those same things to be happening in our businesses on a day-to-day basis? The same miracles that Jesus did, the majority of them were not in the synagogues. They were in the marketplaces, in the businesses, on the streets. So what does it look like to tangibly partner with the presence and power of God in our workplaces and to connect my passion for business with my passion for spiritual things? There is no separation. So how do I integrate those two in every aspect of my life?
Yeah. And I think that what you said a couple of times and something that I say often is, what does it look like? And that's kind of the cry of this generation is, what does it look like? You know, it's got to be more than principles and just, okay, God wants us to be involved in the marketplace. God wants to be involved in the marketplace, but what does it actually look like? So for those of our listeners that haven't had a chance yet to pick up a copy of your book, God With You at Work, what are some of the examples of what heaven in business looks like in the marketplace?
Yeah. So, I mean, the key to this is this intimacy with God. That's so people don't get jumping into a results-based. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm such a believer in forget not the benefits, but the key to those benefits is this intimacy with Jesus, and that's success. Success is friendship with Him, so we never lose that.
Now, I like you opened your book with you were talking about there were the story of how the goose that laid the golden eggs was killed so they could get more golden eggs, and that's kind of how people can relate to God when they're trying to partner with God. It's like, God, bless me, bless my business, you know, like cause me to prosper and all these kinds of things, and really kind of going after the blessing rather than the blesser. And so I like how you started your book off with that kind of preface and saying that you need to go after the presence and then God will begin to do, he'll begin to work out his presence in your business.
And then we can jump into the benefits are ridiculous. But then it becomes success is friendship with God, because there is no 1-2-3 step process to success. This is a journey. It's a relationship. It doesn't always look like I want. The timing's not always what I want and expect. I want it now. I want it yesterday. Mm-hmm. And our experience is that God doesn't, he's still God. I can walk through these incredible situations, but I can't control God. He is still God, and I am in reverence and awe of him. But then I get this amazing, this is what continues to blow me away, is his name is Emmanuel. It's not just me working for God, but God's working with me. He's the God who is with us.
Yeah.
So what does it look like to have God with me every single moment of the day? And, mm-hmm. and that's where we see, recently a businessman came to one of the things that we do, and he went home to his city in Canada, and they own a recruitment staffing company. And his first thing was to say, okay, well, on earth as it is in heaven, so if I want more of Jesus in my business, I've just got to look, if it's not in heaven, it shouldn't be on earth. And he's given me full authority and mandate to then go after those things, either add them in or take them out. So one of the things is their company was involved with a lawsuit, as in they were the ones filing this claim. Well, his first thing is, no, I don't believe this is the right thing for us to do for the reason. Mm-hmm. He didn't explain the reasons, but I don't think this is right. So he went to his VP and he said, I want you to pull out of that lawsuit. Well, the VP's not a follower of Jesus, and he was confused. He's like, no way. No, this doesn't make sense. It's, can't do that. But needless to say, he was outweighed on the authority scale. So they pulled out of this lawsuit. Mm. 1 month later, the owner of the company was sitting down with this VP, told to pull out of this lawsuit, sitting in his office, and this VP said, you wouldn't believe it. We have had the best month in sales and placements in the 57-year history of this business.
Wow.
And then he goes to say, it must be, and he quotes, the karma, because we pulled out of that. As he says that, the phone goes, and it's the lawyer that they were involved with this previous lawsuit saying, hey, the company that you're involved with that lawsuit, they've decided to settle the claim anyway, and there's a large check in your favor.
Oh,
and
wow.
Now the VP is just sitting there, mouth wide open, eyes just like, what is going on? And that's what we're seeing is, I don't have to even say anything. It's like, I love Jesus saying, he says, hey, if I don't do the works of my Father, don't believe me.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I can actually, when I'm doing the works of Jesus, when you start to see what goes on, then it's like that presents incredible opportunities to say, who are you people? And how did you get connected with this wisdom that goes way beyond what I would have ever thought. those sorts of things happening. We had one of my other favorites is a guy, Brian, was sitting in one of our conferences, and I just happened to go behind him and say, "Hey, how you doing?" And he said, "Well, I got neck pain." So I said, "Well, okay, let's take care of that." So we just agreed together. He's sitting down. I just pray. I got my hands on his shoulders, and I said, "Father, just release your presence, because in your presence is fullness." So Psalm 16. So in your presence is fullness. So we release what you paid for to take care of this pain. Well, immediately his neck pain dropped from whatever. It dropped in half. So we were celebrate what God is doing rather than get hung up over what hasn't happened. So great. You know, 50%, that's better than what it was. So thank you, Jesus. But what he's doing is he's sitting there, and he's just feeling overwhelmed by the presence of God. And in that case, that was a feeling of peace. So he is the Prince of Peace. So when I'm experiencing his presence, often I'll just have this great sense of peace, which is really good in a business context. So he's sitting there enjoying peace. And as he's in this, we're joking, this very spiritual moment, he has this random thought. I should do a trade, like a share trade, options trade on Apple shares. Now, he makes audio technical equipment, and on the side for a number of years, he's been doing options and futures trading. And so this random thought. So he thought, well, okay. So he pulls out his iPad, jumps on, and takes a position on Apple shares 6 months out. Expecting, you know, somewhere over that time it will close out and he could make a profit. Well, the next day he's walking into the event and his phone goes off. Someone has purchased his trade off him for a 20% plus gain, and he nets over $50,000 in 20 hours.
Wow. This is the same guy that got healing for his neck.
Yep. And the idea happened just as he's sitting there enjoying God, like he didn't even expect that kind of thing. He knew it was God because he wouldn't have thought of that in that moment.
Right.
But the story doesn't end there. It's just this learning to hear the voice of God. It's triggered him on this journey of learning to involve and ask the Father about how this journey of learning to involve him in every decision he makes. So a period later, I don't even know what he was doing at the time, but he hears the voice of God say to him, which to him is like a thought in his head, "What would you do if this happened with this trading?" Mm-hmm. And he's like, "I don't know." So he takes 2 weeks and he researches, "What would I do if that happened in the market?" And he comes up with some answers. And then he hears God say again, "What would you do if that happened?" So over a course of maybe a month or so, it was like God was asking him questions, not because he didn't know the answer, but because the proverb, you know, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter. It's the glory of kings to seek it out. He doesn't want to just tell us what to do. He's developing sons and daughters who partner with him that represent him in everything we do.
Yeah.
So Brian is developing this strategy that works with him in the way that he does options trading. Well, the result of that is, number one, he's learned that God is with him in everything, and he does.
Right.
Number two, and when God's with him, he experiences peace. And Colossians talks about that peace would be your governor, that it helps you make decisions is by peace. But the third thing is learning to hear the voice of God in a practical way. And so he's now got this strategy that he's learned by answering and seeking out the answers to the questions that God's answered. He sent me this screenshot, and the keys there is that it showed this significant gain in the millions of dollars, and his response blew me away. He was like, he's grown in such intimacy with God and this process that's taken the volatility and the anxiety out of his trading, and to the point where he's now in the highest tax bracket. He's got still $2 million owing to the IRS, which is not a problem. It's just in the process. It's $2 million more than he used to be owing. But his profit is such that he's saying, oh, well, I guess I'm part of God's solution to the state's financial crisis, which to me suddenly really smacks this whole thinking of it's all about me, it's all about holding on, and realizing the original blessing, even jump back to Abraham, is I will bless you, and in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So paying tax is not a bad thing. And actually, that's another whole topic. But just this, the key is this journey of learning to hear God in every aspect of business.
Yeah, I love it. You know, one of the things that I've been in your story there about this, this word of knowledge. I mean, it was a prophetic word that he had received from the Lord about making this trade. And I wonder how many spiritual gifts are out there in the marketplace that Christians are not using because they're not aware that they're applicable in the workplace.
Yeah.
What has been your experience in coaching Christians and helping them to become aware of their spiritual gifts? And what are some of those spiritual gifts, and how have you seen them kind of being applied in the workplace?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think I think the biggest thing is most believers actually hear God and are walking with God more than they realize, but they just don't realize it's God, or they don't actually pause to do something about it. That's what we're experiencing. And just listening and talking to more people, and as they realize, oh, number one, that my business pursuit is a valid pursuit. It's a noble and moral and spiritually good thing to do. As soon as they start to do that, rather than divorce, I have to divorce my spirituality from my business activities because they're not, one's evil and one's not. It's like, no. God designed you with the ability to create, to explore, to discover. God was the first ever creative entrepreneur. He was the first ever fashion designer. He was the first ever in the scaling of the business. He was the first one that invested, and he expects this return. So that's, as they do that and get this validation for there's no such thing as a second class calling. Everything you do, when you seek God first, everything you do is advancing the kingdom.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the big differences between a Christian. I mean, because there are obviously, I mean, you look at the Dow Jones, you know, Fortune 500. I mean, there are founders and CEOs out there that are just killing it financially. And I mean, they're inventing just amazing products and services and doing an amazing job in that way. So what is the difference between a prosperous unbeliever and a prosperous believer? And I think one of the key areas is, and I wanted to get your thoughts on this too, but it's when you're using your gift, it's for the building up of the church, and it's aligning your gift and your mission and your business with God's business, with the kingdom. So, I mean, what are those differences between, because if our examples are about prosperity of believers, and this is what it looks like, I mean, their unbelievers are prospering too.
Exactly. And so number one is, the first piece is most believers are disadvantaged because they've got an added set of rules that they feel like they're supposed to live by. And many of them struggle with this false belief that what I'm doing is not spiritual and is not. Mm-hmm. If I was really spiritual, I'd be a missionary. If I was really spiritual, I'd be a minister. So that's number one that we've got to correct. And then the second thing is, then they've got this extra set of rules to live by that they can't manipulate, they can't steal, they can't. And so and some of the things that they live by is a seemingly disadvantage. I can't use some of the things that other marketers, for example, would use because I want to maintain integrity, and I want to maintain a higher standard that Jesus came to bring. So are we disadvantaged? But then, and I would say, absolutely, if you don't tap into what Jesus has paid for, which is full access to limitless wisdom, power, and everything else. He knows where the fish are. He knows where the gold is. And so, but then, like you were saying, is it then this prosperity? Well, no, no, no. It's way more than that. Is it the miracles? Mm-hmm. Is it? Well, yes, it's the miracles. But I mean, God sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. So it's not about that. So what is the distinguishing feature? What is the one thing that really boils down to separating? Is it that we succeed and others don't? No, I don't think so either, because God's given gifts, this entrepreneurial gift, to anybody. He's not a respecter of persons. So I was actually at early on in this journey, I was at a conference where Ed Silvoso was speaking in his transformation conference in Hawaii. And I had this moment in my hotel room, and I was just like, God, what am I doing here? What's going on? And it opened up Exodus 33 to me, where you got the story of Moses standing. He's got all of these moaning, I jokingly, shareholders around him. He's supposed to take them to the goal, which is, you know, whatever that is for you, the transformation of cities, all creation fully alive, your city prospering, whatever that may be. And God says, okay, I'm going to kill these moaning shareholders. I'm going to get rid of your family. You can go alone. And Moses says, no deal. I'd rather die with these people than achieve some form of spiritual success, achieve the target, the goal, the world change, the world, whatever it may be, than achieve them without my family.
Wow.
Now, that's a huge deal in the business realm, in that how many of us have sacrificed our family on the altar of some pursuit of success.
Sure.
And we can justify it however we want, but God just says, no deal. Amazing thing, it was God who suggested to Moses, I'll get rid of your family. And Moses says, no, God, that is not your nature. Your nature is to actually put relationship over and above profit. Nature, a relationship over and above being right. So so God says, okay then, but I'm not going to go with you. I'll send my angel with you. This is about Exodus 33, early part of that. He can jump in around there. And Moses says, no deal. And the thing that really impacted me is, okay, because it carries on. 33:16-17 says, for how will we be distinguished from anyone around us other than your presence goes with us? So jump back. God himself has offered Moses an angel. And I think about, okay, what would an angel provide? Provision, protection, power, and direction. I certainly would want those things in my business. God directs me. He provides me when the markets go up and down, when we go through economies going up and down. He protects me through the process. Deals, clients, bad, good, bad, whatever happens, he protects me. So provision, protection, power. I want to see the miraculous in my business. I want to see people get healed. But Moses says no deal to the angel. So what's the difference between those four things and the very presence of God? I'm like, oh, I thought they were the same. But Moses says, no, there's something different. And so that's what intrigued me when he says, this is the distinguishing feature is your presence. And so what is his presence? And God says, my presence will go with you and I'll give you rest. So the distinguishing feature is peace and rest.
Wow.
So it's not this... And what's the opposite of rest? Anxiety, striving, stress, fear.
Right.
The opposite of this is that I can never do enough. Mm-hmm. What is the distinguishing feature of a believer in the marketplace? I want the miracle, but that's not what truly distinguishes me. It's just in this communion with my Father, so that I know who I am, that my supply, my source of increase is him. He is my source of increase. And so I have this, I mean, this is the journey of this absolute trust
and him that doesn't matter what goes on, I follow the principles, I do my best, I work hard, but my future is stable when it's anchored in him, when I'm listening to his voice. And so anytime I leave peace, anytime I leave rest, I'm moving away from his very presence.
Yeah. And the lie that's told out there is that more money and more influence is what is going to, I mean, that seems to be what most of us are working for. And yet, not only is it not going to mean anything in eternity, it's not, if we forfeit the presence of God, forfeit peace and rest, I mean, we're never going to actually, we're never going to discover what we were made for. And it's just sort of this endless pursuit. You know, there was, I don't remember which famous, you know, captain of industry it was. It was asked, what is it, how much does it take to make a man happy? And he said, just a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the rat race that many people are in.
Yeah. And we tend to then, as a follower of Jesus in the business realm, but then we'll spiritualize it and we'll say, well, actually, you know, I'm giving this amount of money to see my church prosper, or this to the mission field, or this many orphanages, or whatever that may be, and I'm succeeding incredibly, or whatever that may be. But that's when I jump to scripture where Jesus said, you know, many will say to me, we do this in your name, and didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we give $1 million to this? Didn't we transform this country? Didn't we end poverty? Didn't we whatever that may, didn't we transform city in your name? And Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you. So yeah, it's this sense of, I've got to really know what is success. And God views success different to the way we do. And when I align my thinking with heaven's thinking, creative solutions are released, but even more so, I start to walk in a peace and a rest that I'm not moved by the needs around me. I'm anchored in this connection with the Father, that then the ultimate success is that I could say, as Jesus said, so if you've experienced me, you've experienced my Father. If you've seen me, you've seen my Father. So everything we do represents who God the Father is.
Yeah. So good. Well, Andy, we've been talking about your book, God With You at Work, which is available on Amazon. And where else can people find God With You at Work?
They can find it in the store.ibethel.org. So that's Bethel Church's online store as well.
So besides God With You at Work and the Bible, what is one book that you think every Christian business person should read?
That's a really good question, because there's so many. I mean, I love Ed Silvoso's books. Anointed for Business is just a great foundational book that really just anchors us in that. I love just trying to think through. I'm reading right now Rabbi Daniel Lapin, I think it's called, Thou Shall Prosper, which just really sets us up to succeed in the thinking. Why is it that the Jewish people have prospered so much in business, and some fundamental Western and religious thinking that is undermining? I'm reading that and loving that, as it's again challenging my thinking and the way that we do business. So that's been a wonderful, wonderful book. I could probably just name off a heap of them that have just been so good, and just this journey of learning. But this realization that there is no one process. The partnership with God is the process.
Right.
So I can learn off everyone around me. But when I have this thinking from heaven's perspective, it just releases so much more. I love Bill Johnson's book, Dreaming with God, and his book, When Heaven Invades Earth, because it takes the lid off what's possible and what I can do. And that's when we get people that, you know, when you dream with God, his dreams are always so much bigger than ours.
Right.
And it just really opens up this momentum, this favor, this advancement to move forward, which is really, really good.
Well, you obviously have a lot of big things going on. What is one of the big things you have going on right now that you'd like to share with our listeners?
So, I mean, one of the things is we've got upcoming conferences in January. So that's what we're working on doing is how do I take so I love your marketing thing is who's my customer? Who am I focused on? Because I get so distracted with so many different things. But my customer is a follower of Jesus who's already walking in the principles and integrity and wants to see but knows there's something so much more. So what we do is that we first, how do I create an environment that will expose them to a God who's so much bigger than what they ever imagined? And then we activate them to partner with that. So we actually take business people into businesses as a part of our conferences to do the stuff. It's like, okay, you guys are connected with God. Let's train you, activate you to actually access God, hear him for practical solutions and encouragement in life, and go and do that in our local businesses. And so once we've got them connected with a God who's so much bigger, this trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Once we're doing that and activating in what I'm already walking in, this next level is, okay, how do I now build a culture in my life that God wouldn't want to just visit me on the odd occasion, but my own life and my business would become a thin place, would become a place where people experience me. Wherever Jesus went, miracles would bust out. Wherever he went, things would happen because of the atmosphere that he carried. So how do I create that culture in me? So January's conference, 27 to 30, is the business of honor. So it's one of the key components that if I'm going to see more of the miraculous on a sustainable basis in my life, I've got to walk in a culture of honor. And what does a culture of honor look like in my business? Mm. So that's one thing we're launching. And probably the bigger thing that we're playing with and experimenting with is how do we invite the world into what we're doing here? So we've got in the School of Ministry, we've got a track for students to how do I build a business that demonstrates God? How do I build a business with God in the core? God is my CEO. What does it look like? How do I build that? So this practical and supernatural birth together. Then with what we're doing with our local business people, then these conferences, and we just hit off our first corporate or business executive spiritual retreat. So just from the students through to the mothers and fathers in the business realm, there is so much more available. So what our next step is say, okay, how do we've got this proof of concept. We've got stories now to prove that this is real, this works. It looks different for everybody, but there's so much more. And now how do we scale that in business language? So we're looking to take that online so we can invite anybody in to jump in and see what we're doing, access it. I have a forum to discuss it, to take people behind the scenes and see in the lives of some of these believers that are seeing incredible things, what are they really like? And we realize they're just everyday people. They're just the same as, they still have messy desks. They still they still have a toilet. They still, there's no trying to demystify and just erode this false platform that we place people on and just realize it's everyday people. That's why Jesus picked the 12. I jokingly say that's why he must have prayed. He said he prayed all night. You know, it's no surprise when you look at the quality of the people that he chose. The business strategy would have been to go to the leading Israeli seminary and pick the most talented, character, integrity-filled people to do what he's doing. But Jesus picked these 12 with all their faults, all their failings, to demonstrate to you and I that we've got no excuse.
Or did he pick that? And this is kind of getting off topic a little bit here, but or did he pick those 12 because of who his target group was, those lost sheep of the house of Israel? So, I mean, if you're trying to reach a certain group of people, wouldn't it make sense to, I mean, for example, if he was trying to reach those down and out, would he pick a bunch of Pharisees, for example, you know, people that, so that was just something else to kind of interject in there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love it. Then you get the crazy thing is where God, I mean, that scripture is
And it God delights in taking the weak things of the world to shame that which is strong, the foolish things to shame the wise. He takes somebody like Paul, who is the brain, he's the absolute brain, he's just phenomenal, his schooling, his education, his understanding in terms of the Jews.
Right.
So he takes Paul, fully equipped, trained to speak the language, to transform culture in the Jewish people, and sends him to the Gentiles.
Yeah.
And he takes Peter, who's a fisherman, who's a down and outer, who's impulsive, who's uneducated, and he sends him to the Jews. And you're thinking, my strategy would have been the opposite. So it's like, wow, Jesus, I've got to just keep listening to you. And sometimes it's logical and makes sense. And other times it's the complete opposite, which is this journey of Israel and the promised land. You know, the first step one is you guys have been sharpening your swords for 40 years. You're ready to get some blood. But what I want you to do is you're going to walk into this land, and I want you to walk silently around a city for 7 days. I'm like, are you kidding me? And then just this whole thing of, especially business people, we want to turn everything that Jesus did into a process that we can copy, and then we no longer need him. Whereas the greatest strategy is this intimate connection with him, where Jesus day by day said, I only do what I see my Father doing. I only speak what I hear him saying. I only live out from the sense of what does it mean to be governed by peace and live from this communion with him day by day. And that's this crazy journey that I think's this unlimited invitation for us. But I feel like for me, it just looks like, it feels like I'm failing forward all the time.
Yeah. Annie, what would be the one parting piece of advice you'd like to share with our listeners?
Parting piece of advice. That's one piece. I would just say is take time to invite God into everything you do. Whatever your relationship with, wherever you're at, just say, Jesus, I want more.
Yeah.
And then take time, whether that's in the morning or at the night, and just pause. And I mean, I'd say that ideally through the day, but even if it's just once in the morning, once a night, get a journal and just start to write down, okay, God, just the thoughts that come to mind. Okay, how do you want to show up in my life today? How do you want to, and just ask those questions and then look through the day at how he shows up. And what we're experiencing is that God is showing up more than people realize, but we just don't have the eyes to see it. Mm-hmm. Something happens when I start to realize it, and then I partner with what he is doing, and things just get so much better.
Excellent. Where can people find you on the internet?
So where we're most frequently is posting regular stories of God at work and ideas and things that is happening on facebook.com Heaven and Business. So that's probably the first place. And then heavenandbusiness.com is the website that we are in the process of developing.
Excellent. Annie, this has been incredible. I mean, I think for me, one of the main takeaways has been to really let your bottom line be that peace and rest in the presence of God. And when you have a deficit of peace and rest in your business and your personal life, I mean, it's time to make some changes. And I think you've really helped us to do that today. So thanks for sharing your time and expertise with us. Keep doing great things for God in the marketplace.
Thank you so much, Darren.
That's all for this week. You can comment on this episode and get more information about how to partner with God in your business at darrenshearer.com. I want to thank Matt Dobschutz and S4 Justice for taking the time to leave a rating and review for this podcast on iTunes. So appreciate your kind words and helpful feedback. And as a reminder, if you're interested in getting paid to refer new authors to Highbridge Books, visit highbridgebooks.com/affiliates to apply to become one of our literary agent affiliate partners. Thanks for listening, and keep marketing like Jesus.